Welcome to the Real Estate Pros Podcast. Go to digitalmarketingessentials.com.au to learn about our popular upcoming digital marketing workshops and become the leading real estate authority in your local market. I'm Josh Cobb. Thanks for listening. Digital disruption in real estate has been discussed and dissected at length over the past few years, almost to the point of ad nauseum in some cases. This week I'm joined by Kylie Davis, the head of property services marketing at CoreLogic. Kylie and her team have recently published what I believe is one of the most comprehensive, hype-free, and well-researched reports about disruption in real estate. The Future of Real Estate and Property Finance Industries Report 2016 identifies five major technology trends that are already being felt by real estate agents, the next big things in real estate technology, and how new business models could potentially be more of a disruptor than technology itself. Without further ado, let's pick up on the interview where Kylie and I are discussing one of the most compelling statistics from their report. Enjoy. One of the statistics in your report, courtesy of Elite Agents 2020 report, is that 82% of real estate jobs are at risk of digital disruption by 2032 compared to 44% of Australian jobs generally. Do you think agents have a job in the future?
I do.
According to those stats?
Yeah, I do. I think the way agents do their job and the job descriptions that we give them are probably going to be radically different going forward. The reason I think that agents definitely have a job is that there's two major trends that we're seeing happening at the moment, because technology affects people's behaviour. And the two behavioural trends that are going to impact most on real estate agents is one is called instant skilling, which is where people want to do it themselves, that we're all losing patience with having things, you know, needing to sit through a 4 or 5 hour training session or to do a degree or anything like that in stuff. We actually want to just watch a 90 second YouTube video and know how to do something really quickly. Apple's responsible for that because the iPhone changed our experiences around user interaction. And so, we want to be able to do something quickly. Mm. So the technology that's driving a lot of real estate change, if it can be something that you can learn really quickly and instantly skill, people are kind of moving down that path. But equally, even not more equally, there's another large proportion of the population who basically are going the opposite way and saying, well, I know I could learn it myself. I know that if I had the time or I had the inclination, I could probably do this myself, but I don't want to. Mm. My time is too valuable. It seems too complicated. There's a lot of things that I don't have time to learn all the intricacies of. I'm scared that if I miss out on an intricacy, it might cost me money. So I'd rather give it to someone, this job to someone who is a professional, who knows this stuff, who can guide me and coach me through what that experience is going to be. And that's called concierging. Mm. And that's where I think real estate agents have a fabulous place to play. Mm. in that delivery of amazing service, and not just, you know, taking some photos, shoving it up on a portal and turning up for the open for inspection, but genuinely really guiding people through what to expect, because we only transact 7 years or so, or longer in Sydney with our sales figures. So people sort of worry that they can't learn it in time.
Yeah. Well, something that, I mean, we both spent a bit of time over in the United States over the past couple of years going to conferences and things. And my thoughts around disruption or disintermediation has changed over the past couple of years. And as platforms came out to the market like opendoor.com and over in the US, and for those of you who don't know what Open Door is, who are listening, is essentially a platform you can sell your house yourself with no agent involvement.
Yep.
We've seen platforms like that rise here in Australia to a degree, more lately with Purple Bricks from the UK and bringing their flat fee model over here. But my perception has changed. It used to be, when those platforms first came to market, was that technology
the industry's
is
ruined.
Well, technology is the disruptor, right? Yeah. It is coming and it's coming fast. And I think that's a lot of people thought that way. But as time and time went on, and going over to the US again and going to other countries that are seeing different business models change, that's where I believe that's where my mindset has changed around disruption is –
that we're not necessarily going to be disrupted by technology. We're going to be disrupted by business models, different business models, which is something your report goes into.
Technology enables different kinds of business models to thrive and to flourish and other ones to die off.
Yeah, and still involving agents, right? The business models still involve the agent to a massive degree.
I think one of the key findings for me one of the key things I learned at the last Inman conference in San Fran where we were at was the technology's amazing and it can let you do a whole lot more than you ever thought possible, but it's not a magic bullet. And all technology does is amplify what you're capable of. So if you're capable of amazingly great service and really caring for your clients and looking after them, then the technology that you introduce can and should be engaged around making you able to do that more or do that more, you know, in ways that you hadn't been able to do before or do it to more people or to reach more people. If you're amazingly good at being a terribly bad agent, then the technology will amplify how bad you are. It won't actually solve any of your problems and make you a better agent. And so the thing I learned out of that San Fran conference is that, look at all of this technology and work out what you can get out of it, but actually at the core of every real estate transaction is a relationship. And the technology amplifies the quality of that and should actually help enhance the quality of that relationship. So if you don't have a relationship to start with, you still don't have a business model. You just have a piece of tech.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, so something that your report goes into at length or what you've identified here are essentially five major technology trends that are being felt by real estate professionals. Tell us about these trends, Collie, and how they're affecting the day-to-day running of real estate businesses.
So most of them are things that have been around for a while. So they're not really the future of real estate. They're about the now of real estate, but it's looking at how they're going to continue to kind of change what we're doing. So the first one is really mobile technology. So mobile's been around for, 15, 20 years or so. My dad used to have a car phone that was terribly cool back in the day. But I guess mobile phones being no longer just about making phone calls, they're a remote control for your life and you can do everything on them send messages, take photos, identify what location you're at, use social media. How does that affect real estate agents because basically what it means is that everyone expects to be connected 24/7. The next one is around the cloud, and I love the cloud. The cloud's a little bit misunderstood. So back in the old days, about 5 years ago, basically if you bought technology, you bought a box of some kind, whether it was a hardware box or a software box, and you pulled things out of the box and you inserted things to make the technology work. Men in cardigans turn up to install stuff and you used to have to send half your staff off to a day or two's training session, and then they'd come back and then whatever the guys had installed would conflict with everything else that was on your system so your computers wouldn't work for them. But that's all changed happily now, and this is a great thing, because what's happening now is that the cloud sort of sits above everything and you no longer, instead of inserting discs, you basically subscribe to something online and it's $50 and $49.95 a month per seat, or it's $15 a month. And one of the stats around that is there are hundreds and thousands of people every year subscribing in Australia to online, to software as a service. And about 2% of them ever drop off. So once you're in kind of thing. And what that means is that you can open up your laptop and you can do something on your laptop, and then when you're sitting in the bus on the way home, you can open it up on your mobile phone and pick up where you left off, or you can take it with you on your iPad, whatever works for you. So you've got access to your information wherever you are, and there's no risk of flood or fire wiping you out.
Let's look at it visually from a principal's perspective. It used to be that you'd pay thousands, if not tens of thousands of dollars for an exchange server for your email.
For a box.
But a lot of people these days would have heard of Microsoft 365 or Google Apps and things like that. So that's really where we've shifted from those big bulky machines in our office. Yep. To now where
Evernote, perfect, great example.
Just to visually paint that picture for some people who are still a little bit unsure of what the cloud actually is. It's essentially, as you said, you're subscribing to software that is hosted in a data center somewhere around the world, and you just access it through your laptop or even your phone.
And I think the other part of the cloud that's really important too, especially for agents, is that it's no longer okay. No one's proprietary anymore. No one wants their stuff to not play with other children. Like basically all software needs to now connect into other software.
Great point.
And so you're seeing kind of accounting systems that connect to your CRM, that connect to your data system, that connect to your email system, to your mailing system. So everything's connected so that you don't have to literally have a person save something onto a disk, walk over to the other desk, insert that disk, and then upload it and all that sort of stuff.
Are you finding with software providers, being a software company as you are and a data company, are you finding that more and more companies in real estate, tech companies and software companies and data companies, are more of them going that way in terms of opening up their door to other working and partnering with other software companies and integrating and all that sort of thing? Because what I've seen overseas, but here in Australia, is a lot of software providers previously would be very proprietary and they wouldn't really allow for other integrations and things. But that's changing, isn't it?
It's changing. It's completely changed overseas, and that sent the Silicon Valley set the benchmark for it. And so I think while there's sort of pockets still of people that are a little bit slow to adapt, I mean, IT is a pretty old industry now. It's been around for about 25 years or so. You know, they're a bit like all industries, there are areas of those that guys that can be slow to adapt to. But the mainstream are coming on board with wanting real-time access to everything you're doing.
Yeah. Well, let's have a look at number three. So number one was mobile. Number two, cloud computing.
Yeah.
What's that third
major
technology trend? Number
three, I think, is the connection of those two things through connected communities. So basically having a mobile phone and having access to social media and a camera and messaging and all those sorts of things in your pocket. And on top of that, being able to access cloud technology, which means you can do anything anywhere, means that we've now got this ability to spontaneously connect or disconnect from each other. So the reason and we're doing that not just around like the old days when it first came out, we would, you know, you'd have crocheting enthusiasts who loved crocheting butterfly patterns around the world, who would connect and swap butterfly patterns, or you might have, you know, schnauzer owners who, if you lived in the inner west, there'd be an inner west schnauzer group and you'd start to know people. I'm a schnauzer owner. It's a dog. But now basically we're not just connecting around interests, we're connecting around causes. And that's led the whole rise of the, you know, review, and we are now expecting
Brexit.
And demanding, yeah, Brexit. We're expecting and demanding our views to be heard, and also for our views to influence other people. Like we want to be influential, and I think that's important for real estate because it talks to that whole idea of people sharing great experiences or sharing negative experiences, and the importance of having your online and your offline presence in line, as Tom Panos says, and making sure that you do get, you have got good reviews, or you can offset a negative review with an explanation, or you've got a process for handling that.
Communications about your brand, or conversations, sorry, about your brand are happening on platforms, whether you're involved or not.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is I think it's a unique advantage as well if you are going to be in part of those conversations, because you can then obviously direct it in a way that you want to go. But if you can
create an echo chamber for great brand experiences, then basically, I mean, Tom sort of explains this really eloquently well. He talks about how your brand is what people say about you when you don't know they're saying anything, like when you're not there. It's what your digital brand is.
So the next one, number four, is something that obviously CoreLogic are very passionate about, which is big data.
Big data, yeah. So big data is defined, and I've got to get this right, but it's defined by its velocity, its value, its veracity, and volume, I think. So a lot of agents that I talk to say, oh, yes, we've got data. You know, we know all about big data, we've got data. Every time someone likes something on Facebook, there's about 500,000 clicks a minute or something around the world on anything on Facebook, and every single one of those clicks is a data point. So if you start to look, and every data point is basically telling you what someone likes or dislikes, so it's building this enormously complex picture of all of our personal preferences and what we want to hear more about, what we don't want to hear more about. And so when you start to get analytics of that level, having a bit of data about local real estate transactions inside your CRM starts to really pale. You need enormous analytic capability. You need enormous computing capability. You need big PhD guys with big and girls with big PhD brains to work out what you can get out of that stuff.
Mm.
And I guess most we're moving towards a society where more and more of our decisions are going to be kind of just made around what the data is telling us and the way that it's what we're seeing inside that. So it's more than just sort of real estate information. It's around what's that information telling you about your market? How do you compare to everyone else in your market? How does your market compare to the broader market?
Mm.
How do the people who are consuming in your market, what else are they doing that you can tie in to get insights into what they're doing? What's the best way to target them? The whole old school way of plonking an ad in the newspaper and praying and spraying that it would work. It's just so much more sophisticated and effective than that. I mean, you've seen that with the stuff you're doing with us at Quantium.
let's have a chat about that. So something if we really just make it very clear what big data is and make that visually, imprint that in people's minds of what that looks like. It used to be that we'd have basically the newspaper, TV, radio.
Yep.
That was it. That was all we could advertise in.
Yep.
And essentially that was we would have the ability to target to certain demographics or time slots or sections of the newspaper that are relating to the brand or the product or the services that we're selling. But today we have the ability, we have so many more channels. We can now, if we want to target someone who has owned a house for the last 3 years, it's a three-bedroom house with one bathroom on a 600 square meter block, and they're married with two children. You now have the ability to target your advertising to those people, making your marketing far more effective and cheaper than it's ever been.
Absolutely.
So let's dive into that, and if you're comfortable, and tell us what you're doing there with the guys at Quantium.
So Quantium's is a big data company owned by Woolworths. They have data that comes in from the Woolies Rewards Card, from NAB. Credit cards. No one sees anyone's name or anything like that in it.
But let's make that very clear. It's
anonymized data.
Yeah.
They also partner with Foxtel, so they understand people's viewing preferences, and we're their property partner. And when you start to overlay the complexity of all of those separate data sets to come up with an understanding of of what people are into, and then they're also working with Facebook. That's the most important one. So they have a sort of separate and more detailed way of pulling apart a Facebook audience and then targeting to Facebook.
Mm.
So what we're finding with it is, and some of the experiments that we're doing with it is that as a real estate agent, you can choose a geographic area and say, I want to go within 10 kilometres. I want to target Facebook users within 10 kilometres of my office. And I want to only see the average time on market in my area might be 6 years. So I want to see everyone who's been living in this area for more than 6 years. I've got a pile of people on my books who are looking to buy four-bedroom homes. So I want homeowners who have been more than 6 years who have got a four-bedroom home, and I just want to target at them. That's kind of one really basic way of doing it. But
if we could just break that down for people listening who are wondering. Their heads are exploding.
Yeah.
when you say you want to see those people, you don't know
who they are. You simply target them.
Until they engage with your ads, you don't know who they are, correct?
No. Yeah. So Quantium and Facebook, so Facebook sends the ad to anyone who matches that criteria, and based on what you're spending with Facebook, that determines the volume, the times that they will see it, or the way that they see it, whether it's a boosted post or an ad post. And then once they've clicked on and interacted with you, you start to see their data.
If I can share a story with everyone listening, is Kylie and her team were kind enough to give us access to the Quantium audiences a little while ago to start piloting or testing with some people around the country. And what we found previously, when you would send out Facebook ads, it would go to a location.
Yep.
Second of all, a demographic filter. So whether it's
women under 25
or couples, or and then you would start adding interest or lifestyle interest layers on top of that. So people who are interested in real estate or property or renovating or certain
magazines.
But very
few people say, oh, yeah, I'm really interested in real estate.
Well, I mean, that's true. But the way it used to work is that's all we had available to us we have a product like that you guys have been working on that now allow us to be far more targeted to these people. And what we've seen has been upwards of 150% decrease in the cost per conversion. Mm. So what I mean by that, it's 150% less in what it costs now to get someone to click on an ad because it is far more relevant to the people that you're sending it to.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is a massive difference, a massive difference in how much you're paying for advertising.
Yeah.
But also people, there's a saying that I love that says something along the line, I think it was Reed Gossage, his name was, and he said, nobody likes reading ads. They like what interests them.
Yep.
Sometimes it's an ad.
Yep.
And I think some of the tools and the big data that you guys have been bringing to market or are bringing to market is allowing us to be far more relevant and far more effective in our marketing. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And I think, too, you only get annoyed when things like appear in Facebook, in your Facebook feed or on the TV station that you're watching or that, when it's not relevant to you. If you're engaged in it, you don't really mind that it's there if it seems to be pertinent. Some of the cool stuff, the really cool stuff that we're seeing, though, is understanding not just the real estate elementals of the filter, but actually then overlaying them with other actual, you know, filters from other parts of the data set that Quantium have got. I want to see people who have been, you know, I want to target my advertising in Facebook at people who have a, you know, two-bedroom unit whose grocery bill has suddenly started to include nappies and formula because I think they're going to be listing soon to buy a new property elsewhere, you know, or like to buy a bigger home.
Upsizing.
So I want to see people who used to have a $300 a week grocery bill who's dropped down to $100 and it's all frozen dinners because that's a great divorce. Or a credit card statement with hotels that are unauthorized by the other party.
That's scary stuff. But that's essentially where we're going. And people's minds are probably exploding, as I said, when these data sets used to be in the hands of companies like Quantium or CoreLogic or massive companies. But these days, any agent or principal or property manager, anyone in real estate can
and
access it.
It's not breaching anyone's privacy because you never
see. It's anonymous.
It's all completely anonymised. You never see who they are.
Scary stuff. So number five, after big data, and we've got electronic servants. Tell us a little bit about that.
I love electronic servants. So big data is tied in with the Internet of Things. And the Internet of Things is about almost the robotization or like turning everything into a robot. So previously inanimate machines are starting to both be connected to the web and collect data. So we've heard of the fridge that basically, you know, is connected to the internet and every time you take something out, scans it, puts it onto your shopping list and then you can order it online with Woolies or Coles or whatever. But, I mean, even in my little local suburb of Canada Bay, we have our bins are connected to the internet now. They're both solar powered and they compact the rubbish and then they tell council when they're full so that council knows to go around and collect them.
Really?
Yeah. It's very cool. And there's like millions of these little experiments going on around the world. Google bought a company for about $100 million called Nest a couple of years ago. And Nest is a thermostat company. And you think, well, why would Google want a thermostat company? But they want it because if you're in the States and it's really cold, the thermostat being on, you know, you want to come home to a warm house, but you don't want to have the thermostat on all day. It gets too expensive. So Nest is basically let you turn it on and off by your mobile phone and then it would start to recognize that you were doing it at certain times. And so then it would start to program and so you could organize it remotely. You know, you could set your time schedule. And then from that, it started to get all these other smarts about what your lifestyle behavior was, which is where Google sort of got really interested. We're seeing what it means for real estate agents is that, you know, in the property management sphere, for example, most of the devices in our homes, like the dishwasher or the lifts or the anything that can have a chip attached to it basically, can start to tell you in advance that it's time to book a service or could book its own service or could tell you when it's starting to fault. So you don't need to wait for your tenants to ring up and say, you know, the compact is broken or the washing machine's not working, you kind of already haven't had an alert about that. It's like your car. Mm. Your car's actually going to be one of the biggest collectors of data going into the future.
Yeah.
And so that kind of plays to that whole big data place, because suddenly you've got all these devices capturing billions and billions and billions of data points and then sort of crunching them up, and you can see all sorts of amazing things in our behaviour from looking at the data.
Well, I was talking to someone the other night about the Tesla batteries that are coming to market now here in Australia. It's very early days,
mm-hmm.
But in the not too distant future, it's here. They are selling these batteries that you can essentially plug into the side of your house,
mm-hmm.
And run your house off a battery without having to plug into the grid. All of these things that are coming to market, who knows, if you go away on holidays, you can just turn your power off and not have to pay any electricity.
And not even have that whole like lump that you have to get through before you go on holidays. Oh, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. Oh, like, before we can jump in the car and go. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, we forgot. Oh, we'll just jump online and turn everything off on your phone.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. So that's what we mean when we talk about the Internet of Things.
Internet of Things is sort of little bots.
And everything
and
connected.
The bot being even something as small as a chip sitting on a signboard. So, you know, we're seeing things like I can't remember the name, but Ray White have done a using where you can go in and check in automatically on your phone if you're a home buyer, so you don't have to keep filling in and agent bloody clipboard stuff every single time.
And that then syncs back to
home.
A CRM and follow up and it's pretty. It's gone are the days of the old clipboard and pen, hey?
Hopefully, but, Well, if you're seeing six houses in a day, it gets kind of tedious.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, look, I think something where we're going, we're getting to, and I'm keen to get your thoughts on this, is I think more and more real estate agents are starting to understand that we need to let go of the technologies that are comfortable for us, and we need to start using technology that other people prefer instead of using technologies that we prefer to use. So I think the checking in at a home when you're doing inspections around town on a Saturday or a Sunday is that's what people like to do. So we're starting to see that come very quickly into the real estate market, which is exciting. Something else you've got in the report as well is four things that are really big sort of things in technology. Can you help us understand what some of those are and what that means for agents?
Sure. So the first one's push technology. So this whole idea that at the moment we tend to go online to search for something, but in fact in the very near future, as you drive, if you've sort of already set your preferences to say, hey, I'm looking for a three-bedroom house with two bathrooms in this area and this area, then the houses in those areas will start to reach out to you as you're driving around the suburb.
And we've already got that.
We've got that. Well, AM Follow It's a great example of starting to tell you, push to you that things are happening as opposed to you having to go out and seek all the time.
Mm.
So systems that let that happen is really important. Artificial intelligence, so a little bit more of the sort of Internet of Things, and the kind of robot technology that's out there. So not just about the Internet of Things, your device is sending you an alert to say, hey, I've got a broken, I'm due for a service, but your device saying, I'm due for a service. I'm reporting faults in this area, this area, and this area. So I've already booked a technician and ordered some parts.
Yeah.
And I'll automatically unlock the doors at 4 o'clock on Thursday to have the guy come in. So that kind of making the device is starting to make decisions based on what they've recorded or reported.
And you refer to that in if we can have a look at that from a practical perspective, is things like automating your CRM and database systems to become smarter, basically, and talk to each other.
The next one's virtual reality. We've seen a lot of stuff in that space already at some of the conferences and things.
Yeah.
But, do you really need to go to see a property, especially if you're buying interstate or internationally? Can you just do or even if you can't be bothered to get out of bed on a really cold morning, can you just do a quick virtual tour of it?
Yeah.
And I think that would be great, especially for rental inspections. Because they're always, 10 minutes long. And then blockchain, which is...
this is a tricky one. I always find this hard to explain. Yeah.
So blockchain is... I'm not even going to try and explain what it is, except that what it means is that in the same way that to produce a newspaper used to have an awful lot of infrastructure of printing presses, and then digital completely disrupted that by letting you publish online. blockchain is kind of the disruptor to the banking and finance industry. And that at the moment, in order to be compliant, you have to have an awful lot of infrastructure and security layers and things like that to make transacting safe. Blockchain is a process by which everything's broken into like very fine, small bits and then reassembled spontaneously. And so what it means is that you don't need to go to a bank to borrow or lend, but in fact even real estate agents could start to underwrite some of the or have the technology to underwrite some of the transactions that are going on in their markets.
It is very much in the banking and finance industry at the moment, but we are seeing a lot of people in real estate talk about it, especially over in the US and the UK. But essentially what we would have heard of Bitcoin and how it's a digital currency. And essentially what blockchain will allow people to do is embed currency into contracts.
Yeah.
And essentially when a contract is signed, whether it's a digital contract, then there's no hands involved or people involved in transferring of funds. As soon as the transaction is signed and authorized, that the funds are then transferred and tied into the contract so that no money changes hands until that happens. So
until the digital handshake happens.
That's basically where we're going, where computers and it's very secure. It's extremely secure rather than sort of having people sign documents. Yeah, completely encrypted. So that's my way of explaining it, which is probably
I think that's great.
Not that great. But so look, all of these things, when we talk about technology and disruption, someone said to me a little while ago, which I made complete sense, was what all of this stuff is doing is making the funnel, the sales funnel or marketing funnel, the customer funnel, if you will, it's making it a lot smaller. And it's essentially breaking that down for your business. And rather than the funnel being really, really, really wide at the top, it's essentially all of this technology is doing, it's making it a lot smaller so that you can target people that are far more relevant to to your business. Would that be a fair comment, do you think?
Yeah, I think it's I think the old fashioned way of thinking of a sales funnel was that you just had to
keep calling, just thousands
and thousands of stuff, you know, bits into the funnel so that, you know, enough bits would come out the end. Whereas now what we're able to do is to make sure that that you're putting quality in at the top so that you get quality out at the bottom.
Mm.
So you don't have to put as much in, but what you're putting in is more qualified when it goes in, and so therefore it's likely to shake down better.
And the transaction process, all the processes all the way down are a lot more automated.
And, absolutely. Yeah. And so they're faster and easier to navigate. Like that doesn't take forever to get through them.
So what should business owners and real estate professionals do right now? So 2016, so it's July 2016, what should business owners and real estate professionals do after all of the things we've talked about to really future-proof their business?
Ironically, I think they should get back to basics, so which is what's their relationship? Like what is their value proposition to their clients and what is their relationship with their clients? Mm. And then look at the technology that they can introduce to both enhance and scale that relationship with more people.
Yeah.
And so for me too, it's more about stop thinking about your business and what your business needs in terms of technology with what you personally need in terms of technology as separate things. We tend to embrace Facebook or embrace social media for our, you know, with our kids or with our, you know, new ideas that we do at home or socially, and then think, oh yes, but the business has to do something completely different.
Mm.
What you're experiencing in your family or your social situations is what your customers are experiencing and what they're using to build and grow their relationships. So you have to kind of get that into your business as quickly as possible. And I think what we need to do too is really not be frightened to experiment. You know, the great thing about the cloud is that it doesn't cost you thousands of dollars to install a box anymore to have a go at something. You can sign up for a free trial or $29.95, for a couple of months, and then cancel the contract if you really think it's not working for you. But and just make time every week to learn something new for half an hour. Or
just be curious.
Or curious, absolutely.
Yeah, now look, I have a little saying, do what you do best and invest in the rest. And I think your tip on just getting back to basics. For those listening who have got kids and have seen the movie Up, the little cartoon movie Up, and They'll know the dog in that movie wherever.
Squirrel.
Like, yeah, exactly. That's it. So whenever the whenever there's a squirrel that runs across the screen, the dog would always be distracted, and it'd be the squirrel, and he'd run off and after this. I think that's what we can be like sometimes in real estate. If a new thing comes along, or a new piece of technology, or something like that, and essentially we're so that just takes us completely off course. So absolutely. I think getting back to basics is I do believe agents will have a job in the future, as you do.
I do too. There might be fewer of them, but I think they will be much better quality too. So maybe the standing of the industry will raise as a result of all of that too.
So I think being curious and getting back to basics is probably a just if you stick to those two things, I think you'll be all right.
Yeah.
What are you working on at CoreLogic today, Kylie, with the team that's getting you guys fired up and excited, or what you can tell us about anyway?
Yeah, okay. Well, I can. So we've been experimenting with both Internet of Things and artificial intelligence. So my pet project at the moment is a thing called JournoBot, which is basically a piece of code that pulls the data out of our system, turns it into a narrative or a and then the narrative gets turned by DesignBot into a finished PDF report. So we're able to customize the report to make it either read and tell whatever story we think is coming out of the data. We're able to make it look very beautiful. You know, it's able to make be like highly readable. We can do things like infographics and graphs and all sorts and mapping and all sorts of amazing things.
So if I can pause you there for a moment, and again, just breaking that down and keeping it really simple. So if we
geek out.
No, I love it. But if for those people who are listening who are going, what does that mean? Essentially, what I hear you understanding, if I can paraphrase it, is essentially all of the data that CoreLogic has in terms of ownership records or auction clearance rates or whatever it might be, essentially what you can do with JournoBot, this new product you've been working towards, is essentially take all that data and turn that into a story. So essentially what that might say is something like the auction clearance rates were 90% in a certain area over the weekend. And that's a 12% increase on this time last year. And essentially no one's writing this. It's a computer that's writing a story based on data. Is that a fair thing?
Exactly, yeah. And so if you sort of think about it as every suburb in the country that's got data could have its own story written about it on a weekly basis. All completely done by a computer. And the reason why I'm really excited about that is because the data that is just sitting in a spreadsheet is just a bunch of numbers. And it's actually the stories that data tell that make it interesting. Mm. And it's the information that you get out of that story that lets you make a better decision that makes data really sexy.
Yeah.
So for an industry like real estate that is working towards empowering its customers and helping them make really good, confident decisions at the right time and to understand their markets, a project like this is actually about how can CoreLogic help agents do that without having to kind of hire a bunch of journalists to sit down and want to kill themselves because it's so boring having to type that much stuff. But so how could we do that across sort of 4,500 suburbs on a regular basis?
But I think that's such a powerful thing for real estate agents to consider is imagine taking all of the data that's in your market and turning that into a story for your consumers. Suddenly, you don't have an issue coming up with what to write about in your newsletter or put on your social media posts or what content you're going to create. It's essentially all done for you and it's hyper-local.
And not only that, I can send you, Josh, a different report to Kylie because we're interested in different suburbs.
Yeah.
Spontaneously, I can do that separately. And it might be that it's not a report. It might be it's a video or it might be that it's or it's just an infographic or it's something else that's, you know, quite easy to digest in a micro moment that we're going to have, you know, at our respective cafes with our partners, you know, looking at the property in our areas.
Kylie, we have really just scratched the surface.
We have.
And I think people's minds are exploding. We haven't, I wish we had a couple of hours to keep going. But so how can people get a copy of the report and how can people get in touch with you if they want to have a bit of a chat about some of the cool things that you guys are working on?
Sure. So if you Google CoreLogic Future of Real Estate, it'll pop up. The link to our website will pop up. You can just download the report straight away Google Kylie Davis CoreLogic and I'll pop up as well. You can you'll find my email or my LinkedIn, kylie.davis@corelogic.com.au.
Thanks again, Kylie. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thanks, Josh.
Thank you for listening to Real Estate Pros. Don't forget to visit digitalmarketingessentials.com.au and register for one of our upcoming workshops. I hope to see you there. Until next time, I'm Josh Cobb. Now go out and grow your business.